to share with you before we get into the Bible reading. A couple plans I had that didn't really work out. If you have plans and you through your life it's worked out exactly as you planned, then good for you. You've got a golden touch. For me, not so much. When I was a teenager, my plan was to know success in business or career and build wealth so that I could pay off my mum and dad's mortgage and set them up with a house. And actually, I wanted to buy all of my family houses and live comfortably. And you know, I was going to do that because I was going to change the world with some kind of invention. And oh yeah, I think I wanted to be a world champion kayak as well. But that was not God's plan. It didn't work out that way. I did get into engineering. I became an engineer, trainee engineer. During that time, my plan was to finish uni, to get my certificate, to go up in the ranks in the company, become the CEO, and change the world through this company. And during that time, I remember reading a book by Colin McCullough called The First Man in Rome. And it was about a guy called Marcus Gaius or something. But they, when the kid was born, they kind of had all this. It was like a prodigy. Had this all this potential, and he's going to change the world and make things different. And the way she wrote it made me identify like that. I had so much potential. I want to change the world, and I didn't become the CEO of that company. In God's sovereignty, He took sovereign rule. He said, "Nope." So a little while later, a few years later, I'm at theological college, and I thought, "Okay, my plan is, I'm a prodigy pastor. I'm a pastor before my time. I'm going to forge a new way ahead to share the gospel and build the kingdom, and I'm going to do some great works for God. And or I can become a famous writer." And God, in His ruling wisdom, didn't let that happen. As a husband, well, I haven't reached thousands, like I haven't been, not the latest Billy Graham. As a husband, my plan was I'm going to fill the rest of my life with joy and romance and children, and I'm going to have a family and leave a legacy that's going to last for ages. And God had some lessons for me to learn. Now, I still got lots of plans. We can still... One of those plans... Make financial choices now so that when I'm in retirement, I'm not reliant on superannuation or the government for their finances, so that I can enjoy my twilight years. Is that going to work out? Is that working out? I don't know. But God is keeping me humble. I don't know. I wonder what your plans were. Have you prospered? Have you succeeded? If you have, are you happy? If you're like me and you haven't quite managed to achieve some of the things you wanted to, have you found peace with that? Or do you get upset? Do I get upset? Do I get frustrated? Do I get disappointed? Do I get resentful towards God? I do. Should I? Probably not. So what do I do with that? How do I cope with that? I don't even have a right to be upset with Him. But how can I not? So when we get to Proverbs chapter 16, I think it gives us some good insight, those first 9 verses, into applying God's wisdom, His perspective, the wisdom's perspective, onto our plans, and see how God's sovereignty is supreme over that. And maybe we can work out actually that our plans are not necessarily in conflict with God's plans, but perhaps they can cooperate with His plans. There's a phrase from the commentary that I've been using in Proverbs is Paul Koptak. And in this section, he says, there's a wonderful balance between human plans and God's oversight of the outcome. With a wisdom perspective, the two are in cooperation, not conflict. So this is the last of the Proverbs we're looking at. We've looked at Proverbs chapter 9 through to 16, and we're going to move on next week to Colossians. But I'm going to finish with chapter 16. And we've been doing each chapter a little bit different, because if you take all those chapters, they seem to be repeated and it seems to be the same thing. So we talked about the different characters in the Proverbs, the fool, the mocker, the wicked, the righteous, the good. And we also, the wise. We also looked at some contrasts. We had conversations, a group discussion. We had images and videos. We talked about the heart and the lips. We said different ways. So the different, just to keep it interesting, we could try to attack each chapter a little bit differently. So this chapter, I'm just going to look at the first nine verses. I'm going to message 3 points on the first nine verses. But we also have to look, we're going to focus in on that, but we're going to take a cursory look at the other verses. We're still going to read the other verses. So what I thought we'd do, we'll read the other verses, reflect a little bit, and then come back to that main idea that I just talked about, God's plan, God's sovereignty and humans' plans. So Shirley is doing the Bible reading for us. And as we read, you might notice a few proverbs in there that are still associated with plans and God's sovereignty, but we'll pause after a few verses that we read, and we'll just ask about if there was a verse that struck you as valuable insight or something we need to reflect on or pause on a little bit. So if we can read verses 10 to 15, this is on the King's sayings.
And the mouth does not betray justice. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in the honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but the wise will appease it. When a king face brightens, it means life. His favour is like a rain cloud in spring.
Okay. Is there any particular verse there that you want to pause on, comment on, strikes you as valuable? I thought I just might note, not that matters much, no comments. When we're looking at those comments from the king, we've got to assume the general rule, not the universal rule. The Proverbs have a general rule, meaning in general, if a king's doing the right thing and he's good, this is what the king's going to be like. It's not a universal rule, because there are some bad kings, there are some corrupt rulers, there are some politicians that don't lead us well. So this is if the king is God, really. Let's do verses 16 to 19. Wisdom better than gold.
How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? The highways of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their ways preserve their lives. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud.
Any verses there that strike you? Interesting, how much do we value gold? In the last 5 years, it's tripled in price. How much have we increased our value of wisdom in the last 5 years? Do we value wisdom? Do we have a sense that three times, five times, fivefold, we're holding it more precious? All right. Wisdom is sweet on the lips, verses 20 to 24.
Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. The blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart are called discerning. The gracious words promote instruction. Prudence is a fountain of life to the prudent. But folly brings punishment to fools. The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
Do you like any of those verses? One of those verses? Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Verses 25 to 30 is a description of evil. It talks about the hunger of the wicked, the perversion and their violence, or their tendency towards violence. 25 to 30.
There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. The appetite of labourers works for them. Their hunger drives them on. A scoundrel's plots evil, and on their lips it is like a scorching fire. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent person entices their neighbour and leads them down a path that is not good. Whoever winks with their eye is plotting perversity. Whoever purses their lips is bent on evil.
Is that an evil wink? Any comments on that? Any verse that struck you? Have you lived through one or two of those experiences? An ungodly man rejects evil and spreads evil because they're rejecting God. Yeah. Any of those verses familiar? His proverbs seem to be repeating themselves. Actually, verse 25 there is verbatim of chapter 14, verse 12. It's exactly the same words repeated. Lastly, we finish on a good note, positive note, a description of the righteous person, verses 31 to 40, and they talk about patience and perseverance and endurance.
Grey hair is a crown of splendour. It is attained in the ways of righteousness. Better a patient person than a warrior with self-control than one who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord.
I should possibly in verse 31 note that the grey hair
was good verse.
Is remember the the general rule. It's not universal rules. Just because you've got grey hair doesn't mean that you've attained the ways of righteousness. And verse 33 finishes the proverb where I want to spend most of our focus now. Human plans. It talks about rolling the dice. You can roll the dice, but God determines the outcome. Human plans, God's sovereignty. So we'll go back to verses 1 to 9.
To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. The Lord takes pleasure in anyone's ways. He causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps.
So I want to bring to you again that quote that I took out of the commentary. There's a wonderful balance between human plans and God's oversight of the outcome. With a wisdom perspective, the two are in cooperation, not necessarily conflict. And I'm going to read that again one more time later on. But the main idea I want to talk to you, present three points on God's plans and humans' plans and God's sovereignty. The main idea, God's sovereignty does not necessarily cancel our plans, but calls us to make them wisely and humbly and dependent. Through wisdom's perspective, we can ask, how do we then plan? How do we proceed through the plan? And how do we respond to the outcome? So, firstly, through wisdom's perspective, how then do we plan? God gives us the capacity to plan, to think, to act, to do. He gives us that capacity. We're made in his image. We are beings who are able to think and do stuff and plan stuff. And the wisdom of the world tells us that we should make it happen. If you've got a dream, make it happen. But if you manage to do that, well, good for you. You've got a golden touch, like I said before. But most of the time that I've seen, when people have actually carried out and fulfilled their plans exactly the way they wanted to do, it's because they've been ruthless. They've trod on other people. They've ignored rules and laws. And that's not really. There's obstacles in everybody's path. But I think to succeed in obtaining what you set to focus on, you really have to be ruthless and arrogant. So, for most of us, things don't happen the way we want them to. What do? Do we sit around and wait for God to deliver or to tell us what's next? Do we move forward? Do we move forward anticipating failure? Not being confident of God's blessings? Or do we persist? Because there's plenty in the Bible that talks about endurance and resilience and persisting. So just because it doesn't happen doesn't mean it wasn't what God wanted. So there's a catch-22 there somewhere. It's kind of like the image of the accident. It's kind of like just because you've had an accident or 20 doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad driver. Yes, bad drivers have accidents, but having accident doesn't equate to being a bad driver. So we have plans, just because they don't come to fruition doesn't mean that God's not behind that plan. And sometimes he asks us to persist and to endure. In the verses 1 to 3, it says, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, seems perfect, the plan seems perfect, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So imagine Joseph. On the first time he got thrown into the pit, his brothers turned on him. Did he then give up his plans? Or did he adjust? And then the second time he got sold into slavery, did he give up his plans? Then he got put in jail and he got betrayed. All these things happened to Joseph. Did he give up his plans? All these things happened. He stayed faithful. He stayed obedient. He kept his integrity, so that finally in the end, when he meets up with his brothers, he says, you planned this for evil, but God planned it for good. So he persisted. He committed himself to God and his purposes. So these couple of verses tell us that when we make plans, they might seem perfect to us, but God knows best. When you make a plan, commit it to the Lord. Pray it through. Surrender to his will. Fear and hold him in awe. We've got to listen to advice, and we've got to acknowledge that he will oversee the outcome. How do we plan? Plan wisely. I think we need to remember that God is sovereign. God rules. He gives us the capacity to plan and to set, but the final outcome belongs to him. And our wisdom is not shown in the planning independently from God. It's in the submitting our planning to God in the process. So when the plans don't, well, if the plans go good, that's great. If they don't go good, well, what do we do? How do we behave? How do we behave in the process of these plans coming about or not coming about? And the answer to that is we live righteously. We live God's ways. We live his purposes, because the way we live is more important than what the plan is, because God weighs the heart. Verses 2, verses 4, and verses 6. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but the motives are weighed by the Lord. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. They'll get their just deserts. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. So human wisdom often trusts appearances, but God evaluates the motive. He looks at the heart. Wise living means aligning not just our actions, but our hearts with God's truth. So true wisdom is the fear of the Lord, not in self-confidence in what we're doing. How do we apply that when the plans aren't going awry or it's not working out? Well, we need to check our motives. We need to ask, why am I doing this? What is the purpose in this? Why are we doing a car boot sale? Is this a good plan? Who's going to be affected? Where are the relationships? What's the goal? Integrity matters more than success. Relationships matter more than the goal. God's wisdom transforms not just what we plan, but how we respond and how we act through that plan. And if we submit to him, if we submit to the process, then even if it's not what we wanted, God can still work through it. So imagine this a scenario. There's two companions and they're traveling and they miss their flight. Their flight is delayed, or they took too long getting through security, whatever the reason is. One of them is really frustrated and gets on the next flight and complains all the way home and whinges and is so upset with everybody and the airlines. And the other person is trying to calm the situation and remains calm. and trying to remind us we can be thankful that we are getting home. You know, we should count our blessings that we live in a society where we can get on a plane and travel such distance. We should just trust in God. Which one of those persons is going to be a better witness for those who are listening? Which companion was acting righteously in kingdom values? And then later on at night they get home and the complaining abruptly stops when they see on the news images, tragic images of a plane that shortly after takeoff the engine failed and crashed. And they realised, oh, that was the plane that I was complaining that I missed. So the first companion, he saw it as a failure not getting on the plane, but actually it was God's providence in disguise. We plan, but God rules. Proverbs 16 teaches us how to apply that wisdom, how to plan faithfully without pretending that we can control everything. Lastly, how do we respond when the outcome is good, when the outcome is not what we wanted? We've got to look through wisdom's perspective. Wisdom perspective says, how do we respond? Well, we respond humbly. A plan fulfilled can produce confidence, self-confidence, pride, unless you live with a humble heart, just like Jesus asked us to. A plan unrealized or unfulfilled can produce, or even change, can produce disappointment, frustration, timidity, unless you exercise humility like Jesus asked us to. So either way, we have to live humbly in response to any plan or any goal, any outcome. It's just as important to live righteously, but it's also important to live humbly. God directs the step, because God directs the steps. If you look at verses 7 to 9, I'm going to skip the NIV version and go to the New King James, because I thought the words are better in the New King James version. Verses 7 to 9. When a man's ways please the Lord. If you go down a few slides, I've got the NIV and then I've got the King James. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Even our best plans can change under God's hand. Wisdom means trusting him, his sovereignty, when our paths take unexpected turns. Okay. We've got to see the outcome of the plan. If we live humbly and if we see it through the wisdom perspective, we can see the outcomes of the plan, not as conflict to our plans. Not we see God's sovereignty and humans' plans not in conflict, but in we should be able to see it in cooperation, even comfort, complementary. But it should comfort us rather than we shouldn't fear what God is doing or changing in us. But we should have confidence that He's going to take the best path. So how do we apply humility in responding to the outcome of the plans? And it's about holding our plans loosely. We're not being so possessive of things. We're not at the sailboat yet. Holding our plans loosely, we trust God to redirect them. When plans fail, are we able to learn? Are we able to ask God, what's the teaching moment here? What are you protecting me from? Now, open hands means you're willing to receive something, right? So if faith means walking forward with open hands, we make plans, but we're willing to accept what God is going to put into them. And sometimes we have to change the plans. And tack, I put the image up of the sailing boat because I don't know if you've anyone sailed, do you know what a tack or a jibe is? You do? What's the difference between a tack and a jibe? That's right. You got to turn because you never do you go from one point to a straight point on a boat. You've always got to go tack or jibe. If you're going into the wind, you've got to tack. If the wind's behind you, you've got to jibe. And it's just a technical thing. But the idea is that we, if the spirit is the wind, then perhaps to get to the destination we planned, we're not going to go in a straight line. Sometimes we're going to have to tack or jibe. But we keep our sails set towards obedience. Okay. If we wrap all this up, what have we said? What have I said? Human plans and God's sovereignty cooperate together. I skipped that quote, didn't I? I'll go back to that quote. There is a wonderful balance between human plans and God's oversight of the outcome. With a wisdom perspective, the two are in cooperation, not conflict. So wisdom perspective helps us in how we plan. It's submitting and committing our plans to Him. Wisdom's perspective helps us in proceeding through the plan, our righteous living, no matter what happens, because God weighs our hearts. He knows our motives. Wisdom's perspective helps us in response to the outcome of any plan because God determines the steps. So we plan. That's wisdom. We trust. That's faith. God rules. That's sovereignty. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes things don't work out as we plan, but we don't want to give up. We don't want to stop planning. You are a God and you ask more of us. You ask us to live with integrity, to live humbly, to live righteously, and we want to do that. We want to be wise, and I guess wisdom is not really controlling the outcome. So we, in our plans, in our hopes, in our dreams, in our desires, whether it's family or work or church, we want to commit our plans to you. We ask for your guidance in all things. Amen.